VIP. Let's kick it.
This is the Ice King Jack Ledger, and you're listening to Below Zero Wrestling Radio.
This is Bobby Power Brennan, and you're listening to Below Zero Radio.
This is Maven Huffman, and you're listening to Below Zero Radio.
What is up, wrestling fans, and welcome to another episode of Below Zero Radio. I am your host and the voice of Below Zero Wrestling Showtime, Rocky Allen, and joining me here in the yet unfinished Horace Studios for Below Zero Wrestling, commissioner and co-owner of Below Zero Wrestling, Nick Stokey. Nick, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a beautiful Friday morning. I got my coffee. We finally figured this out.
Yeah, a couple of technical difficulties. We've been away. Had some real life stuff hit us, which happens. But Dickinson was awesome.
Dickinson was great. It was really good. I mean, you know, you get out there and you can feel the energy throughout the day. It's a powerlifting competition, King of the North, presented by the Pit Strength and Fitness, and those guys were amazing, and topped it off with a awesome King of the North wrestling event. And yeah, I Dickinson was great. It was great.
And it's always cool to find stuff like that because, you know, we try to play nice, right?
Yeah.
But and we're always trying to get bigger, but we're aware of, like, we know there's a promotion in Sioux Falls. We know there's a promotion in Omaha, a good one.
Yeah.
And as we go east, promotions, right? So we're trying to sort of understand what our territory is. Amazing relationship with Flashback in eastern Montana.
Yep.
So like that western North Dakota territory is so key because we're not stepping on toes out there. And we're probably bringing wrestling to people that haven't had wrestling in a long time.
Yeah, it was just that night was great. It was a good weekend of wrestling for that 2.5 hour, 3 hour area. Like you said, Flashback, they had a show the night before, got some attention on our show on Saturday. Actually, some guys from Flashback that night, some fans were like, you know what, there's wrestling in Dickinson, an hour and a half away.
Out they come. Wrestling.
Yeah, so it's been awesome to expand wrestling into that area, something that hasn't happened, just not only ourselves, but to see Flashback doing that as well. But Dickinson, man, I'm still loving that.
And so cool. I mean, just so cool to, as I really mentioned, you know, like, getting wrestling to people that haven't had wrestling in a while.
There was a lot of fans out there that had never been to wrestling. Like, I mean, that I talked to two guys I hadn't seen, buddies from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I forgot they were living in Dickinson. They come up, they're like, hey, man, Stokey, what's going on? I was like, hey, you know, like, yep. Are you guys wrestling fans? Like, no, we saw your Facebook that you were doing it out here. They came, they bought a VIP table. They were front and center, and the whole time they were cheering.
Yeah.
And so then to see that kind of stuff and to talk to them after and say, you know, how was it? They're like, well, I'm not going to go home and watch wrestling on TV probably, but if you guys come back, I'm coming back.
Well, and that's how I got involved. I mean, I took my son to what is now our show in Wahpeton, but I just came up to you, and you hear different things about indie wrestling. Some of it's really bad.
Yeah.
And some of it's not. And I went to the show, and I was like, this is a thing. This is something that can be something. And, you know, after that, then we did the show together, and now I'm doing what I'm doing. But it's, people don't come to BZW and then leave disappointed. It just doesn't happen.
I'd be absolutely shocked if that, I mean, when they come, wrestling fan, watching wrestling, whatever they are, if they're just because their friend said, hey, I got a ticket for you, let's go.
Right.
You can be entertained for 2.5 hours. You don't have to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, by the way, this is what I was trying to do. We are sold out of seats.
Yes.
Sold out of seats.
I cannot put another seat at the Sanctuary for Wrestleversary in 9-8 days. Like, we can't do it. They probably are going to steal my seat from in the back so that someone can sit on it.
We, as the great Jim Ross, we have an ass every 18 inches, baby. Very excited about that.
Might try to make it about 16.
Yes. I have heard that there are dozens of standing room only tickets left? Is that an accurate?
Maybe.
A handful? Handfuls? Multiple handfuls?
Yeah, it's so standing room is going to be for sale until they tell us it can't be.
Okay.
So there is a fire code. There is there is a limit to how many people you can put in that building. And we're just monitoring it as sales go. We're selling some tickets every single day. At some point, they're not going to be available. And that I don't know how to put an actual number on that. It's more kind of the sanctuary.
Right. And there will come a point where we get cut off because we're not in the business of getting venues in trouble.
No.
We're not in the business of
getting ourselves in trouble.
Getting ourselves in trouble. Absolutely. No,
we have the sanctuary has been great working with us for all these years and everything. So when they tell us that, hey, we can't put anyone else in here.
Yeah.
I mean, they want people there. Yeah. They're doing food, drink, all that stuff. They want people there too. So we're going to put as many as we can, but is it tomorrow? Is it the day of the show? I don't know, but at some point we're probably going to be sold out of standing room tickets as well.
So get them. Get them. If you want to come, get them. It's especially, and I know this sounds weird, but like if you're not bringing kids, you know, because kids kind of need a home base. If you're not bringing kids, you're just coming to have a couple, one, two, three, four cocktails and watch some wrestling. The sanctuary is an unreal spot for that.
Yes.
It's a perfect spot for that, especially just go up and lean on the balcony, man, and holler stuff at the wrestlers and cheer and boo and do all the things that we want you to do, man.
In reality, that, you know, standing room on the balcony is actually a very good
spot. It's great.
Like some people look at standing room like, I don't want to go stand.
Yeah.
But the balcony vantage point for the ring and everything, like that standing ticket is well worth the $10.
Last year I did play-by-play up there. It was awesome. We had the wrong microphone and we never used the play-by-play, but it was great.
And it's a fun little atmosphere up there.
Yeah.
It's different. It's a little different up in that balcony.
Especially occasionally you'll get like some of the boys will go up there. Yep. Even if they're not on the show, that's sort of where, you know, we've seen guys kind of, or after they're done, we'll see guys kind of creep up there and not that you necessarily need to bother the boys all the time, but like you'll see guys watch other guys' matches from the balcony.
It's a fun spot to be in the venue.
It's cool. Okay. Joey versus Brandon is on.
Yes.
Joey.
It's on.
Which, again, you know, we talked about being an interesting spot because Jay Fowler's not on the card and Morrison's not coming back or Johnny Below or Johnny Zero or whatever.
Depends on the day.
Jesus' name he was. But, you know, so how do you get to a championship match? There's no obvious contender other than what happened at last year's WrestleVersary. And Joey had just had enough. And so that's, I think, how we got to where we are. Brandon, being the fighting champion that he is, understands this is WrestleVersary. The champ needs to be on the show.
Yeah.
I'll accept this challenge, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, Nitro is, he's, you know, he's, like you said, he's a fighting champion. He understands the value of having that championship on a card, especially like a WrestleVersary.
Yep.
And he knows the beef with Joey Avalon. He remembers that exactly what happened. Joey Avalon is as worthy as anyone when it comes to any championship in any promotion in any state in the United States. And then for it now to be a last man standing match.
Yeah, really exciting.
To me, that really evens it out. I mean, that's a lot in the favor of a Joey Avalon.
Yeah, and we'll get, I mean, because we'll get to it because we're going to obviously do a big time, hopefully get a talent for the WrestleVersary preview show. Might even be a video aspect to that. So we got some exciting stuff coming up next week. But just the I mean, there's a size advantage with Joey against Brandon that is undeniable.
Yeah.
There's a size advantage with Joey against a lot of people. He's a big, nasty dude.
Very true. And he brings an attitude that some guys don't have. And now you get to add essentially what he said last night. There's no rules.
Right.
Everything's legal.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. This is going to be a challenge. This might be Nitro's biggest challenge.
Okay, we have confirmed two show announcements at WrestleVersary. We will not make on the podcast until the recap show. So if you want the news, come to the show.
Yes, we have two show announcements that will be made at WrestleVersary. Some of those tickets will be live at WrestleVersary. So if you're there, you're going to get the first chance. Last time we did tickets live at a WrestleVersary, we sold out every single front seat.
And
front row seat.
I have been cooking something up.
Yeah, maybe we have three.
We might have three show announcements.
Yeah, we'll see what Showtime's got cooking.
Yep. Okay. King of the North was awesome, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
Let's just do a quick recap for those that didn't make it out to Dickinson. Sly still talking a bunch of junk to Taylor.
It's nonstop. It's actually getting a little annoying. It stuff like that doesn't normally get to me, but it has gotten to me. And
this guy just got his hands on the title. Just got his hands on the title.
And he had the championship for a minute before Sly had to be like, "Ooh, I'm Sly."
Yeah. He is like that.
Kind of. And so,
you know, that's who we should get on for the Wrestleversary preview.
Can we have him do it like remote? Oh, he strikes a nerve, but you never know. I'm Sly.
Okay. Ink beats Andy in 30 seconds, debuting
Andy.
Yeah. Debuting Andy got it handed to him, unfortunately.
Yeah. But let me tell you, that guy, he might have been the crowd favorite of the night.
There are brighter days ahead for Andy.
There is.
Brighter days ahead for Andy.
There is.
Mentolo is the King of the North. And I got to tell you, you know, not that we are sick of anybody, but some fresh blood in BZW is always welcome.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just showed up on ROH. Mentolo might be looking to make a major impact here. Also, well, we'll get to that later, but, I mean, might be looking to make a major, major impact.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's he's a player. Like, anytime you have him around, he's been around forever. He's wrestled everywhere, multiple countries, multiple times on TV. You know, anytime you have him on the card, it's going to be a major matchup, and it's going to – he keeps winning. You can't hold that back. You can't hold him back because of who he is.
Absolutely. Nitro and Taylor beat the Nelson brothers.
Yes.
I still think, though, that there's money in the Nelson brothers, and there's a run there. I think Nick was maybe born to be a tag team wrestler.
I know that
it went, but that's a tough ask for them to make their tag debut against our two champions.
Yeah.
I just think that as much as it pains me to say it, as much as it pains me to say anything nice about Nick Nelson or Rick Nelson for that matter, I think that we might have something there.
They're legit as they come. That is a tag team that works, and you can tell it. They haven't had a ton. I mean, that was their first tag team match in BZW. They haven't done a ton outside.
Yeah.
But they are, I don't know, you don't sleep on them.
No.
Don't come in thinking, it's just a tag team, you know, but no, this is, they're legit.
You got to set up brother versus brother versus brother versus brother.
It's a lot of brothers.
It is. Brother. Brother. That was for wrestling dorks only, that joke. But this is probably our audience. Bobby getting hot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and again, you take out the losses to Jack. Like, what's his record over the last 2 years? You know what
it's,
I mean?
It's pretty
and
good.
So we were talking about a tough ask for the Nelson brothers. Again, Bobby, outside of maybe the top guy in BZW, though he's not the champ, right? Like Jack, outside of losing to Jack, Bobby doesn't lose very much.
No. Big name, big match, Bobby, you know, power.
Those two are blowing up, by the way.
Yeah.
Blowing up.
They've been all over. Jack just got announced for a really fun show that's going to be up in Winnipeg. But Bobby versus Tommy, or, you know, Tommy Douglas. luckily, the Dickinson crowd understood what was going on there. And, but Bobby, I mean, Tommy's not, he's game. He hasn't picked up a lot of victories, but I mean, the guy brings it every single time.
Yeah.
So, really good get back on track win for Bobby.
Yes, yes. Okay. And we just want to say, by the way, Jack beat Matthias, and Matthias, my man, we're not keeping track, but my guy's got to find a W at some point.
He has to.
At some point, he's got to find a W.
I mean, he looked, you know, anytime you go against Jack, I mean, anyone there, Jack is always going to be the heavy favorite.
Yeah.
But Matthias brought it. I mean, he looked really good. He looked really good. He was ready, you know, kind of last minute. Unfortunately, Duke had an injury. Matthias steps up, and it wasn't a walk in the park for Jack, but Matthias got to figure something out.
You got to find one. Dickinson was awesome, loud from start to finish. We mentioned it's great for us. It's good territory, good place. And it's in the works to come back. Just so everybody knows, everybody out in Western North Dakota, it is in the works to be in the rotation.
100%.
Today's episode of Below Zero Radio is brought to you by the good folks at Prairie Pest Control. Prairie Pest Control is a local company here in Fargo, and if you are having a comprehensive exterminator service assures you of a pest-free home regardless of the season. We're getting a season change right now. Get ready for spring. Get ready for summer. Prairie Pest Control conducts a thorough assessment of your house and offers solutions from one-time to seasonal programs. You can get on a little program. Just get on the schedule. Peace of mind. Things of that nature. Check them out on Facebook or give them a call at 701-893-8660. All right. We got some wrestling. You are not, as I made a joke, hooking up to the trailer, driving to Webster, South Dakota, or, Des Moines, Iowa for no reason. I haven't talked to you in anything yet, but we might actually watch a premium live event together.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, is there anywhere I could just take off just for the sheer novelty of pissing you off again?
What excuse can I possibly make? Anyway, that's a very inside joke. Yes. But we've got a backlash. I think, okay, fine. I'll get your take on it. It seems like we've lost the war for WrestleMania 41.
I mean, 100%.
I think we've lost the war. I don't think it's going to be in Minneapolis.
It's not. Yeah. It's Vegas.
Which, by the way, you're looking at my face right now like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
We could run a BCW show in Vegas. I don't know how we're going to get the ring there. That would be a fantastic documentary. You and me driving the ring to Las Vegas.
So I drove to Vegas last year. It's 21 hours.
Dude, I've done it once. I'll never do it again.
Without a ring. I drove.
Yeah.
21 hours. Do you think... That means it could take...
Only if it's for content and only if we're being paid.
Yeah.
Netflix, holler at your boys. Wrestlers Season 2 is actually just Rocky and Nick setting up a BZW show 3 days before WrestleMania in Las Vegas. That's Wrestlers Season 2.
I do have a few people that I know with venues in Vegas, too. So
yeah, there we go.
They're sport complexes, so...
There we go. We don't have to bring the ring.
I mean, there are guys with rings down there.
There we go.
But no, I mean, there is not going to be WrestleMania in Minneapolis.
So getting back to my point, what is your take on the multitude of international PLEs? Because I can't remember, do you remember what PLE it was that was in Minneapolis at the Target Center where Kurt Angle stepped into the Shield for one night, which was bananas, but...
TLC?
Yeah, I think it was a TLC. Yeah, and the Minneapolis thing is an extreme example because we can get in a car and in 3.5 hours be at the show. Other than that, though, I think it is, I mean, to me, there's value in American fans being able to see your PLEs live.
Big time.
But what we're finding out is, and I think, I don't know what the cost, well, obviously it's cost effective that they wouldn't be doing it, but it seems like they can put any damn PLE over there and make it a stadium show.
Yes, because it's so few and far between.
Whereas some of the lesser, and let's put it on the table, Backlash is a lesser pay-per-view.
Yes.
100%. It's not Money in the Bank. No. It's not one of the big four.
Not even a top six.
Right. It's a lesser pay-per-view. But there's going to be a zillion people there. And frankly, and I'm not talking down on the Target Center, but Backlash would be a Target Center level, or that other non-United Center arena in Chicago, or the Bradley's, not Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, whatever. It would be an NBA arena show.
Yes.
Not in France. So what's your take on, kind of the Clash at the Castle and the Saudi stuff is sort of its own bucket, but
I'm not sure that that's a thing anymore anyways, but I mean, we'll see what happens, but yeah, so the non, I mean, like your average, like
right.
Elimination Chamber in Australia.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
Kind of stuff. Like I love them. to, you know, to an American wrestling fan, they're still going to be what they are to you. Like, I don't look at Backlash any bigger because it's over in a big stadium in France.
Yeah.
But the people in France look at it that, holy crap,
yeah,
this is what we're getting. So it makes perfect business sense for WWE to do these because they now get to promote another major pay-per-view or PLE that isn't one of the big four here in the United States. And they get the money, the week-long thing. They get everything about it. So I think it's great for the business. I think they're really going to grow the brand overseas even more than they have over the last few years.
The only tweak that if this was the plan, what the hell do I know? But the only tweak that I would have made to the whole thing would have been, let's not, if we're going to do this, that's fine, but let's not cut it back to 10 pay-per-views a year instead of 12. If we're going to do so many overseas, let's throw the American fans a bone and still do monthly pay-per-views. Don't reduce it from 12 shows a year to 10 and put half of them overseas. It's my only minor tweak.
I'm okay with it. If you break it down in a really, really, like really break it down, it's like us in North Dakota when we're going to do just a small X amount of shows in Fargo.
Yeah.
Those are your big ones. Those are your, you know, and then we're going to go out and do some other ones when we go to Dickinson and Bismarck and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And still they're going to be promoted like they're as big as anything, but we know we're going to come back to our Wrestleversaries and our Winter Slams, that kind of stuff in Fargo. And if I were to give too many of them, just like I think if they give, and not that you can give too many PLEs in the United States, but I just think they're doing it as a, yes, we're an American company, but we want to be worldwide. And they are. But, I mean, I think they want to be massive. And I don't know. I like it. I like it. I think it's a great idea.
All right, let's dive into the preview here. RKO, which is the most obvious, like RK-Bro was whatever, Jarrah Show.
Yeah.
A-Town Down Under, which I...
whatever.
But
I'm not a fan.
But RKO is just the easiest thing that there has ever been.
Yeah.
Versus the new Bloodline. I wonder if we don't get a little Jacob Fatu run in potentially. Not 100% sure. Pretty far away to do a run in.
It's pretty far away. I'm not sure his past. I think he's had some past legal issues. Maybe can't. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, kind of like the Jimmy J thing going to Canada. You know, they can't go to Canada.
So okay.
We'll see what happens.
At any rate, I think the Bloodline gets the win here. It may be by I don't think you can have Tama show up and just take an L on the first PLE. That's my only thing.
I don't think so. I mean, and you've had Solo taking L after L after
right
L.
After.
Like at some point, you have to solidify.
Yeah.
And you know, the new Bloodline.
So... And that's what I'm wondering. That's why I'm wondering about an additional member.
Yes.
Or the only other thing that I can think of, but I don't know how it makes sense from a storyline perspective, is a little swerve and Roman shows up. Because, you know, Paul taking him and saying he's not eligible for the draft because he's not coming back anytime soon. And then the swerve is Roman shows up. But I think they're also kind of trying to... So conflict within the Bloodline. So the Roman swerve, I don't know how much it makes sense. I don't know. But I also don't know how you can beat Randy and KO clean in the middle. So that's it's honestly the whole ending to that match, with it being even like a mid-card match,
yeah,
is super interesting to me because I wonder what you do with that whole thing.
And maybe it is Fatu. You know, maybe it is someone else. Maybe there is something that, you know, causes that distraction or whatever. I don't think you're getting Roman yet, because now,
I agree.
Because now you have to have Roman back,
right?
And I'm still steadfast.
Or maybe he just comes out in a black hoodie and never reveals himself and just leaves.
Well, they could just do that with anyone.
Yeah, right.
I still think we get babyface Roman when he comes back, anyways. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't think that they go over RKO clean. But I do think that the Bloodline goes over RKO.
I do, too. And I'm just wondering how they do it. That's the interesting thing to me. Okay. The Kabuki Warriors versus Bianca and Jade. I think that we're going to see some cracks in the armor here for Damage Control, because I just don't know, man. Like, I guess You still have, what, two other members of Damage Control?
Yes.
So maybe there's some...
Without either of them having a match. So, I
mean, right.
They're
so
available.
Yeah, so Nonsense is, I guess, on the table. I'm not predicting Nonsense. I think it's going to do that weird Jade licks her finger thing in the middle of the ring. I mean, I think we're going to have new champions, and then I think there's some sort of, you know, like I said, cracks in the armor of Damage Control kind of storyline moving forward, because obviously EO lost to Bayley.
Yep.
Now they lose the tag titles. Was turning on Bayley such a good idea? Who's still, you know, I think all of those things are things that you can do within kind of this story, but that's where I think we're going.
Yeah, and I think the entire story of just getting Bianca and Jade there, you know, putting the titles on them, because it's a perfect way to, you know, you have this big Jade signing. You have to get her involved. You have to get her on TV, and this is the great way to do it.
Yeah.
Get her in a tag team with one of the biggest stars right now in WWE, and Bianca can work 80% of that match.
Right.
Jade comes in, does her
thing. Does her big finish.
And she's getting better. Jade's going to be getting better. So I think it just makes total sense. It, on both sides, you can further the broken Damage Control, and now you get Bianca and Jade in a marquee spot in WWE.
Yep. Okay, Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton for the title. I can basically book this one for you. Bayley retains.
Yes.
And Tiffany looks awesome. And Naomi just kind of maybe even eats the pin, maybe, but just in general, I think Naomi here just kind of does what we would call yeoman's work. She just does what needs to get done.
Well, Naomi can go into any match and look great.
Right.
I mean, so it doesn't matter where she is. And
I just think if you were ranking kind of the push coming out of this match, I think one is Bayley, because I think she's going to retain.
Yeah.
But then I think they're also going to use this match to continue to push Tiffany Stratton.
Yes, because you probably eventually get Bayley Tiffany.
Right, and so I think just kind of unfortunately by default, Naomi ranks third on who looks the best coming out of this match, but she'll do a great job of that.
Yep.
Priest versus Jay. Man, at some point, Jay's got to win one of these matches, and it ain't going to be tomorrow, don't think.
I don't either. Priest, I think, is actually going to be a pretty decent champion. Now, we're not looking at like a 2-year reign or anything like this, but a couple months.
Yeah.
Again, another possibility where some, you know, interference or something on behalf of Judgment Day, even though Damian doesn't want that.
And so that's what I'm wondering, if it's not like Priest versus Finn at SummerSlam.
That would be what I think it is. I still think, in the off sense that Jay wins this, it's not like going to be 100% unbelievable. Like, holy crap, I still think there's that chance that he could, because Jay does deserve, but I think they need to build him a little bit more. And Priest, I think, is Priest versus Finna is the home run for
SummerSlam. And I think you would let, because I think Priest has done a good job so far. So the way he carries himself, the way he handled himself after WrestleMania. I think you would basically let the air out of the Damian Priest balloon if you have him lose his first title match.
Yes.
Because, and I think that's important, frankly, for every Money in the Bank winner.
Yeah.
That cashes in. There has to be some legitimacy. You have to win a couple.
Let them establish themselves for a little bit. Let it show that, you know, some strength.
But honestly, that is kind of why. And maybe just the Yeet stuff and his, you know, two-hand head bob thing. Like, maybe all that stuff is just so over that he can just eat a loss and it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Again, I'm getting I'm getting a little bit concerned that every time we have a Jey Uso match, he loses when it's
the big match.
The big match.
Yep.
Any
title.
Right. And it's always like, oh, what a valiant effort. And it, what, you know, it is. And that's the way that they do the match. And he puts on bangers. And I like him as a solo star. And all of that is true. But we have to find a way for a different ending than Jimmy screws Jay and he doesn't win the X championship. Or Jay fights valiantly, but X champion beats him. Or, again, in this case, which I think is sort of both of our predictions. You have unwanted, by Priest, unwanted Judgment Day interference that costs Jimmy the title.
Yes.
And sets Jay. Up, or excuse me, Jay, and sets up further dysfunction within the Judgment Day. And not that the Rhea injury was well-timed, because you never want any of that crap to happen. But from a storyline perspective, I think it's awesome in that, like, you can sort of view her, or they can certainly retroactively view her as this connective tissue, as mommy.
It was the glue that held everything together.
And now you got Dominic Mysterio in a sling.
Hanging out with Liv.
Yeah, JD getting mad at
everything.
Everything. Like, I just think that, again, if you're going to do it, and maybe they wouldn't do it at the exact same time, but again, I don't know how much it matters. If you're going to do the cracks in the armor of damage control, there are cracks all over the armor of Judgment Day.
Yes. And it's been a very... Judgment Day has been great.
Yes.
It's been absolutely great. You know, as you continue talking, maybe you see like a DQ finish, that, you know, like a no contest, and it sets up like Jay, Damian, Finn at SummerSlam.
Just, we're a long way from SummerSlam. It's May. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's only 2 months.
It's an August show, isn't it?
Okay, 3 months.
That's a long way to set up a triple threat with what I would hope there has to be some sort of, whether it's Clash of the Castle, some nonsense in overseas, Crown Jewel, something, King of the Ring. I think King of the Ring, actually. King and Queen of the Ring is overseas, but I'm pretty sure it's before SummerSlam.
I'm not 100% sure on that, so we're going to go with what you think.
Very brief side tangent.
Okay.
Very brief. Green Bay, we saw, this is going to be kind of a, maybe, I'm not sure how many crossover fans we're going to get here. We saw 270,000 people, not at once. No, at once. 270,000 people in Detroit for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
BCW fans, I hope you understand, Green Bay, Wisconsin is the next host of the NFL draft in 2025. Green Bay is, if you put a 80,000-person stadium for professional football and just smacked it in the middle of Fargo. They're the same town. The people talk the same. They're both obsessed with a green and yellow football team. They're all nice. They like to drink beer. The food is good. Green Bay is Fargo.
Why, you just spent like 4 days there.
So I'm interested to see, and this will make it better for Showtime. This will make the loss of the Minneapolis WrestleMania better. I would be interested to see. Do you know where Adam Pearce is from?
I know he's from Wisconsin.
Green Bay, Wisconsin. Green Bay?
Okay.
I'm not saying Adam Pearce is making decisions at that high a level. If Green Bay successfully pulls off the NFL draft and there's not these huge infrastructure questions with hotels, and you get through that next weekend, spring of 2025, and things don't go terrible, what they are doing in the Cleveland Browns Stadium for SummerSlam would be so sick in the middle of Lambeau Field.
Yeah. And, I mean, we agree on a lot of things minus our professional football team. But
you can agree that would be sick.
I can agree that just being able to say we're at Lambeau Field, just, and how many people from wrestling to the NFL and everything, but, like, to me, I'd still be like, that's kind of cool. That's pretty cool. I don't know if I'm going, because I don't want to step foot in Green Bay. But I
tell you what, that would be fun. Be fun to do a BZW show leading up to that.
Oh yeah, that'd be fun.
So okay, anyway, where the hell are we?
Cody AJ,
the main event. Unfortunately, I don't have anything to say about this because
we know what it is.
Yes,
we know it's a. Listen, it's a lower tier PLE, and we're going to give you a phenomenal main event.
Yep. We're going to give you
AJ's not winning.
Nope.
But you're going to get a 5-star match.
Yeah. This is going to be a 4.5, 5-star match between two of the best to do it in the last 20 years.
Yep.
And they're going to tear the house down.
Yep.
And Cody Rhodes is sure as SHIT not going to drop the belt in his first title defense.
At Backlash.
At Backlash, right. Yep. So
it's... But I'm gonna love the match.
Yep.
AJ's one of my favorite of all time. Like newer, like, you know, in my different areas of fandom, he's one of my favorite. Cody is a favorite at the moment. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to that match just as from just watching a wrestling match.
For sure. And, I mean, it's fine that he's not a threat. It's fine.
It's okay.
We've got...
You need those. You need those.
You've got, you know, I think Rock, Cody, too, there will be some question.
Yeah.
Right? Or excuse me, Rock Cody, there will be some question.
Not two,
Rock, yeah. Roman, too, there will be some question as to maybe who walks out. There's no question.
Yeah.
For this one. And that is fine. Folks, thank you so much for listening along. Thank you so much, by the way, for selling out Wrestleversary. We're going to have a ton of stuff next week on TV, locally, on the radio. We're just building the brand. Yeah. So all of you at Wrestleversary, have fun watching Backlash tomorrow.